Fellas, how we feeling, man? The Chicago Bears have a franchise quarterback.
I am fucking hyped.
How we feeling?
I'm feeling great. Great.
Can't complain, man. Super, super excited about this situation.
Sometimes it don't even feel real.
It definitely doesn't feel real. I mean, even as a Michigan fan, I'm excited. Like, we got a Ohio State quarterback, and I am more excited than I've ever been about this football team.
Yeah, you know how it goes, man. When they put on those pro uniforms and they put on our team uniform, it don't matter no more. Like, I'm a Bama fan. If we'd had drafted Cam Newton, you know, that Auburn Target hate would have gone away, right? Real quick. Like, yeah, that's why I like Watson. You know, he beat Bama, but I was still down to get him. You know, that was a rival, but you got to respect the game. So, man, it's crazy. Like, I want to pinch myself, dude.
I know, dude. My girlfriend was watching me, like, as I'm watching the draft, and I'm like, I see they trade up, and I stand up, and then I'm like jumping, like, hesitantly, like getting ready to like fucking explode through the roof. And then once it happened, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Dude, like, the energy that I've had all week has just been up. Like, I was down in the dumps, like, worried and shit, and now I'm like, I couldn't feel better. Straight up.
Can't complain, man. When you see the situation and how it all unfolded, man, I was shocked. I was shocked to a certain degree, but being happy, being ecstatic, it really didn't even all the way sink in yet. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
You know? So, you know, we sitting here and we on cloud nine right now, man, mm-hmm. and it's crazy. Crazy situation.
Yeah. Like to see him in the uniform, you know what I mean? To like see him with that blue and orange, with the helmet, with his visor, with the number one, dude. That's gonna be a whole nother level, man. Because I can't wait. It's crazy because you know Bear fans were down bad, bro. We were like Bears Twitter was negative, man. It was just like a bad place. You can post anything, bro. People would be like on you, like, I like David Montgomery. F David Montgomery. We don't have a quarterback. He's like, what the? You know what I mean? Like, it was.
Yeah, dude, it was getting heated, man. We were ready to take Ryan Pace's fucking head.
Yeah.
Like, we were about to start a riot, march to Hallis Hall.
He wanted to beat up
and
Jordan
lynch him Cassidy. In the street. Like, like, it was about to get serious. Like, I was worried for the man's health and well-being.
Yeah. People are going to run up on
him. Now he's a glorified saint. I don't care what happens for the rest of his tenure here. He did it. He did what we wanted. So he's good. He's good. Yeah. He righted his sins.
Yeah. I mean, they talked all that collaboration and we clowned them for it, but you know, they did it.
I'm still clowning them for that. That was that was some whack ass.
They did it. The one L I will say that he took this offseason, now that we got Fields, looking back, and I know hindsight is 2020, but we signed Andy Dalton. With that money, we cut Kyle Fuller. So that kind of stings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That kind of stings. I understand that they had to get somebody in here, you know, just in case. But, you know, looking back, you're like, dang, man, we could have still had Kyle Fuller. But bygones be bygones, man.
I still feel like that was a panic move. You know what I mean? Like the Russell Wilson thing fell through.
Yeah.
The Deshaun Watson situation was blowing up, like, you know, in his personal life. And then, you know, we sitting here and it's like, we had to grab somebody. And I feel like that's what he thought. We got to get somebody. Because at 20, you really don't know if you're going to be able to move up to get one of the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So he pulled a panic move, you know what I mean? And we kind of going to have to pay for that. But, you know, it's all good if we got Justin Fields now in the fold. So
definitely. Yeah, man.
Now that I'm thinking about it more, honestly, Nick Foles wasn't going to get the job done.
No, he can't last more than four games.
Exactly. And Andy Dalton – barring injury, I mean, he could get it done. He could bring us to the playoffs and actually teach Fields how to be an NFL quarterback. I mean, he's a Pro Bowler like three times. I mean, he's been to the playoffs more than a handful. So
hasn't won anything, but
that's fine. He knows how to get there. That's all we need to teach him. Fields can learn how to win on his own. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be able to – nobody can teach that.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the good thing about having Dalton, he's like you said, he's a professional quarterback. He doesn't have the physical talent that Justin has. So you can't replace that or replicate that, you know. But he knows how to prepare for a defense. He knows how to, you know, read a defense to, you know, at least to his level as an NFL veteran. He knows how to prepare. Mm-hmm. He knows, okay, they're disguising. They're showing this look. Same with Nick Foles. It's like Nick Foles definitely doesn't have the physical talents that Justin Fields has, you know, but he's also a veteran. He's been in the playoffs. He's played high pressure games when it's all on the line, when everybody's trying to, you know, stop the play. So I think that's what they were trying to go for. They were like, hey man, we got experienced veteran quarterbacks who's done a lot in this league, who accomplished a lot in this league, and they can at least show him the ropes. Now, that physical tools that Justin Fields has, that's amazing, they don't have that. So the mental aspect, they can help him with that, man. But mm-hmm. the physical, man, I want to get into this a little bit, just talking about, like, the rankings. I do not understand, going back, looking at some of these NFL evaluators, how they had guys like Trey Lance and Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields. Some people even had Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields, and I don't know what they were looking at.
A lot of people had Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields. I mean, I think Chris Sims is an idiot, and he just gets lucky with being right. Like, straight up. Like, he had Justin Fields as the fifth quarterback on the board. It's crazy.
He had Kellen Mond ahead of him.
What?
Yes, he had Kellen Mond number four.
Like, that's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. This kid has been the number two quarterback in his class since high school.
Yep.
Yeah. You could argue that they flip-flop back and forth. I mean,
he was one for a little bit in high school. Like,
yeah, you know. So, I mean, I look at it like this. I look at it like this. You know, there's a couple of things that go on in my head, you know, with why it happened and why it went down the way that it did. You know, you look at the all Elite 11, right? The Elite 11. Showcase mm-hmm. that they had, he was the MVP in that. That's where Trevor Lawrence in there, you know, and his two matchups in college at Clemson and when Trevor Lawrence was at Clemson and he was at Ohio State, he arguably, you could argue that he outplayed, you know, Trevor Lawrence in both of those games, right? So, you know what I mean? To me, it's like, it's crazy that he would be bumped down so far. He would be bumped down. And the only thing that I could think of is the situation with Georgia. I mean, because he went to Georgia. Jake Fromm was the guy there, and they wouldn't supplant, you know, they wouldn't move Jake mm-hmm. Fromm to the side, even though he was way more talented than Jake Fromm.
Oh,
I mean, by head and shoulders.
You see those clips, those Georgia clips I posted?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And I remember when he was going to Georgia, people out here, because I live in Atlanta, everybody's like, why is he not starting? We're like, what's the deal? What's going on? And for whatever reason, they wouldn't play the guy, right? So, you know, he by this time, he stuck it out for 1 year and then he transferred. And I don't know what Kirby Smart said to some of these, you know, pro scouts and things like that, but I'm sure he said something, because there's no reason for the guy to be falling the way he was. You know what I mean? I'm sure he said something. Now, he hasn't come out and said anything. He hasn't said what he said, but I guarantee you that NFL teams – interviewed him just the same way they interviewed Ryan Day, same way they interviewed his parents and his high school coach. They interviewed Kobe Smart. You don't go there for a year and nobody say anything to you. So it'd be interesting to find out what in fact that you know that he said about Justin Fields, because it had to be something negative, in my opinion. And I think that's bogus. I think it's really bogus on his part if he did. I couldn't believe he fell the way that he fell. You know, and I mentioned this to somebody else. I said, man, it's really, we got to give a shout out to a couple of teams, man, here, because the way the draft unfolded really let us in the door there. Mm-hmm. Because as we were getting through, we got to, you know, I was hoping they move up to six and hopefully mm-hmm. eight. And then when eight came to the board and eight, I think it was Carolina, they drafted J.C. Horn. I was like, dang, okay, so who's the next team we're going to be able to trade with? And I didn't really see any trade potential.
I thought Denver at nine, maybe.
I thought Denver was going to try to grab somebody, though.
Yeah, I was worried about Denver.
I was worried about Denver grabbing Justin Fields if he was there. Yeah, I was too. You know?
And you know who I thought next was the Cowboys.
Nah.
I thought the Justin Cowboys would trade. No, not to trade. Yeah.
Yeah. No, see, I knew the Cowboys wanted a defensive guy, right? So I thought they were going to go a defense, and they wanted Pat Surtain, right? So when Denver grabbed Pat Surtain at 9,
that's when I thought.
I was like, okay. I still didn't think Dallas was going to trade. I thought they were going to take Micah Parsons. And sure enough, they traded. And I'm like, why? I'm looking at the TV like, why are they trading with Philadelphia? Like, that doesn't – why would you trade with your own division? You know what I'm saying?
That was weird to me.
That was strange. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, why are they doing it? Why are they? So then I'm thinking, Philadelphia is going to pull a stupid trick here and draft Justin Fields. So I'm thinking that. And then Philadelphia didn't do that. They drafted the wide receiver that the Giants wanted, Devontae Smith. And that's what opened the door for us to Giants talk to, like, the Giants.
Out. Yeah, we out. The Giants were like, we're out.
So then we talked to the Giants. I'm like, all right, that's what's
up. Pre-draft, I saw something that said the Bears and the Giants had already talked about, you know, possibly moving out.
If Devontae Smith wasn't there, that's who they were targeting.
Yeah.
They wanted him. And you see that that's what they wanted, because in their next pick, they end up picking another boy, the other wide receiver.
Kadarius Toney or
they got Toney.
I like him. I was hoping if the Bears were picking at 20, they were going to either take him or maybe that one of those tackles, like maybe Tevin Jenkins, who we ended up getting anyway.
Right, right.
Which I'm even more shocked we got him than Justin Fields.
Yeah.
He should not have been there, like even a little bit. Oh, dude. That dude is a freak. He is a man eater. I saw a clip of him just bullying somebody 20 yards across the field into the fucking sideline, like into his own bench, putting his face in the dirt. Like, that's the type of.
That was Joseph Osai.
Yeah.
It's a whole.
Oh, so breakdown. That's a whole ass. Like,
yeah, I'll send it to you. Vach Lombardi, shout out to him. He did a whole breakdown of Tevin Jenkins versus Joseph Osai versus Texas. And he wrecked that man the whole game. Joseph Osai, what round did he go? Go in the second round?
I think so.
Yeah, he's an NFL player. He
could have won the first.
Yeah. He was a first round talent, was destroying that kid, had him on the dirt all game. I'll send it to you, dude, but it's amazing. For sure,
yeah. I would love to watch it, bro. So, Curtis actually just sent me a question that he had for you guys. He wants to know, is there a part of you guys that thinks that Nagy may actually be a good play caller and that Mitch just is not good? And that was the problem. So, the question is basically, was it Mitch or Nagy?
I don't think it's black and white. Like, this is what I think. I think certain parts of Matt Nagy is good at scheming people open. Because if you watch some of the stuff, there were times like dudes were wide open and either like Mitch didn't throw it or he missed it. Yeah. Or it was one, I was at that game versus Washington last year and he had one. It was like Anthony Miller was breaking wide open and he didn't even look, he just took the check down. And it was live, and I was watching it like, oh, my God. Like, this guy – I mean,
I remember that play.
Yeah. And so – but Nagy gets stupid, though. He'll start calling, like, jet sweeps on 4th-and-1. That's on Nagy. Mm-hmm. And like, Mitch had his flaws. Mitch was good at bootleg. He was good at mobility things, but he wasn't good at throwing a ball down the field. And Matt Nagy likes to push the ball vertically down the field. This is why I think Justin Fields is a good fit for him. And it just wasn't a good fit. You know, it just was a bad pairing. Matt Nagy wanted to do certain things. He couldn't do it because of Mitch. But then even not because of Mitch, because of the tackles as well, which was important that we got tackles. Because you can't go deep passing when you have tackles that are giving a pressure as soon as you snap the ball. So it was just – it was like a bad fit all around. But I think a guy like Justin Fields can cover a lot of warts. You don't have to hold his hand as much because he's just so talented.
He's so smart.
And so I mean, smart that
aptitude test like that they do, and he scored the highest ever perfect score, like 130, and the next highest is Pat Mahomes with like 110. Yeah. Like, that's something that I really love because it's not just a talent at that point. Like, he knows what the fuck is going down. Yeah. Like, they saw the report that Matt Nagy asked when he first called him. He was like, hey, remember this play that we went through?
Yeah.
What do you do? And he told it to him perfectly.
Yeah.
And that was 6 weeks ago, and he told it to him once.
Yeah, like, I think that's big with the play call. I don't think it's one or the other. If you see the really good people, like you really think Sean Payton is holding Drew Brees' hand? No. Drew Brees they're equal partners. You know what I mean? Drew Brees can run that whole entire offense without Sean Payton. He doesn't need the coach to be like, oh, you need to do this. And it kind of became that thing where Nagy and the Mitch thing was like Nagy telling Mitch what to do. Like, sometimes you just got to take control of the complete offense if you want to be QB1. Like, no, this is my offense. You know, we're not running that. Like, even Jim McMahon, I heard them saying something. There were times when Mike Dicker would call plays, and I would just like, I would go to the huddle and laugh because we ain't running that play. He was like, yeah, we ain't running that. We're running this. And that was Jim McMahon. You know, it's going to take Justin to get to that point, but eventually he's going to have to get to the point where it's his offense. It ain't Matt Nagy's. It's his offense.
This is the situation, though. This is the situation with Mitch, right? Yeah, you know, it goes hand in hand. I'm not going to let Nagy off the hook because at the end of the day, in my opinion, Nagy hasn't developed anybody yet. These guys that we have, you don't see them really stepping forward. You know, the Anthony Millers, the Javon Wims, you know, we talk about, you know, you're saying he schemes people open. Well, I don't agree with that. I see a bunch of wide receivers that constantly have people draped on them, and they get tackled pretty much quickly when they do get the ball. When they do get the ball, you know, you can't tell me out of the what is Allen Robinson have over 2 years? 200 catches almost?
Yes.
Got almost 200 catches over the last 2 years. Every one of those wasn't contested catches. So, you know what I mean? I just feel like there's some lacking there. And I feel like Matt Nagy has to look at what he has on his roster, and he has to build his playbook according to what you have on your roster. That's the sign of a true genius. That's the sign of that. When I look at other teams, that's what I see them do. The Rams, Sean McVay, everybody likes Sean McVay. You can see the difference between him and Nagy. Nagy is, I'm going to force it. Sean McVay will run the ball. When Todd Gurley's gone, now he throws the ball. You know, this happens. Okay, now we're going to do this. This happens. We're going to do this. We're going to build our offense around the skill set that we have. That's the problem that I see with Nagy. Nagy doesn't understand how to do that. You know, you look at the guy in San Francisco, Shanahan.
Oh, you know, I'm a slander Shanahan, though. I love McVay. Shanahan.
I feel you. You know?
but I love McVay, though.
Okay, you gonna slander Shanahan because he choked in the Super Bowl, right?
Nah, he done nothing else outside of the Super Bowl. That's why I slander.
But they consistently in every game, and he's producing with inferior talent. When Garoppolo goes down, who's he got? C.J. Beathard, and what's the other guy's
name?
Nick Mullins. I mean, and they're still involved in games. They're still producing.
You I throw think
anybody
I
in that about, backfield, I'm
coaches in the
throw
league.
Anybody in the backfield.
I think
and they're
running, is. No, they're, I got to say something because.
Run game is straight. Their run game has been straight. You know,
Nick Foles, Chase Daniels, and Mitch Trubisky, Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, they all the same dude to me. They
actually did something with Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard.
No, Nick Mullins had like 9 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Like his numbers are like
C.J. Beathard though, like barely look it up. interceptions and like led them to like 3 wins at the end of the season this year. That see, I think Sean McVay is ass. I think he's.
See, I think it's flipped.
I think he's phony. I don't. What he did with Gurley, he overused him. He knew he was injury prone. He way overused him. I think he has a good scheme and he has a good mind. I just think he gets into his own head too much. With Shanahan, I mean, made Matt Ryan an MVP player. Matt Ryan was
the number one overall pick.
He's a great quarterback, but there was no reason he should have been an MVP.
Okay, let me run off Nick Mullins. Like, this is what I'm saying.
Mullins, see, you can't get completely caught up in the stats of a guy.
That's got to look at talent look too.
You got to look at the, look at
they,
the whole.
Where did they go last year? They went what? 5-11, they got injuries. So what? We had injuries in 2020.
Okay, but they're the best defensive end in the league, Nick Bosa.
They was
Keith Ford's gone. Richard Sherman's gone. One of the best corners in the league. They lose all three of their starting linebackers in a 4-3. They're excuses, but like the last season when they were completely healthy, they're in the Super Bowl. The year before that,
Nagy got more production out of Nick Foles last year than Nick Mullins.
Like, Nick Mullins okay, ass
so
cheeks.
So is like, so is
and that's what I'm saying.
Is Garoppolo tight then?
Garoppolo's mediocre. He's like Andy Dalton.
He went to the Super Bowl, but he went to the Super Bowl.
He's like Andy Dalton. I mean, I think we would have went to the Super Bowl if so-and-so would have made a kick, to be honest with you. So, and then, like, if that's the case, what's the difference? Like, I'm a production. It's all about production. He, and people have seen this, he's on the hot seat, bro, because his records outside of that one Super Bowl trip have been like 5-11, 6-10, goes to the Super Bowl, 4-11. So you, when you go up and you pick, you trade all that draft capital to get Trey Lance, the clock is on, because you got to make Trey Lance. You passed on Justin Fields to pick Trey Lance. I don't care. People can sit up here and argue with me and say Trey Lance has the higher. No, bro, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you're looking at on tape. Trey Lance has the skill set. He's talented. But yeah, he does miss. He misses people wide open at times. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted Justin Fields. And he played for North Dakota State. Like, you can't tell me a guy playing for Ohio State, playing Clemson and Alabama and Michigan.
And beating their ass. Not like, not just like had one bad game against Indiana and two bad games against Indiana and Northwestern. Yeah.
So,
and his whole entire college career. Yeah, those were
he only lost two games. He only lost two games.
People say he's inconsistent because of that.
Yeah, he lost two games in the college.
67 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
And so, to me, Shanahan, when he did that, thank God, because we got Justin Fields, baby, in case y'all forgot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah, I can't get you wrong. Like, that was a bad pick, but I still think Shanahan's very good coach.
I think he's a good coach. I'll say that. What I'm saying is that I think he's a bit overrated. I think he does a good scheme, but I'm like, I'm a production guy. At the end of the day, I'm like, produce, win.
Okay.
Like, where's your?
They went to the Super Bowl, though. They went to the Super Bowl.
They went and they lost.
Like, I mean, they were close.
They almost beat the best team in the NFL.
They did.
Like, if you holler and screaming, produce, they went to the Super Bowl. You can't deny them that.
And they've been double-digit win seasons ever since then.
They shouldn't have went to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you.
Nah,
they
right.
weren't they ready should. For that.
They shouldn't have beat Green Bay.
They weren't ready for that.
That defense, that's why I said timing matters. Like, if we would have made that kick, our defense was so badass that year. They could have carried.
We were going all the way.
That's what San Francisco did. San Francisco was the 2018 Bears, but you know, Parkey didn't miss the kick because that defense just drugged them to the Super Bowl, and you just couldn't beat the GOAT, Tom Brady. But
they was running the ball that year too.
Though. Yeah, they ran the ball. Like, I'll give Shanahan that. I'll give him that.
You know,
that's one that I got on Nagy.
And that's with several different running backs too.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who they put in there. They
Raheem
was running Mostert, the ball.
I'll give him that. Yeah. That zone scheme. Well, we wasn't running zone that year. We were running like some trap shit. But when we started running zone last year, that's when David Montgomery he started blowing up.
The problem that I have with Nagy is, like I said, he doesn't like in that game with Shanahan, he makes an offense for what he has. Shanahan's known for running the ball. They're known for that zone running scheme.
Yeah, zone. His
daddy you know what I mean, with Terrell Davis and all of that. But you look at when he was with Atlanta, he changed it up and ran a whole completely different offense.
Yeah, they still get the talent.
But he had the talent. But what I'm saying is that when he goes to San Francisco, he doesn't have that same talent. Now he goes back to his running game, right? And he's able to produce in that way. That's what I'm saying, that Nagy's not able to
do. I agree.
Nagy has no option. He has no way of changing anything. It's just do the same thing. That's insanity, bro. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Do the same thing, expecting a different result. You know what I mean? And you're doing the same thing. So that's my issue with him.
I got the same issue.
Now, Trubisky had his own flaws, and he had his faults and things like that. But like I said, you have a talented quarterback here. Everybody has been saying it. You have a talented quarterback in Justin Fields. Now what you need to do is draw that out. You need to allow him to do what he needs to do, right? Justin Fields is he can push the ball down the field. He can do this. He can do that. But at the same time, you gotta be able to get the guys open and all of that type of stuff. And I don't think he really does all that. I think it's just a smorgasbord of nonsense that he puts onto the field in his play calling ability. He's one dimensional. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. That's my problem with him. Now, if he changes it up and he learned his lesson from what you know, not running the ball with David Montgomery, even though he was a top five rusher last year. Think about that. If you actually ran the ball with him, he could have had
2,000 yards.
Yeah, he could have been one or two.
He could have been leading rusher. So we talked about it as on our pod, and I talked about Matt Nagy, is that what I think would really help Matt Nagy is that he had to get people in here that he respected. Helfrich wasn't his guy. He just picked him. I don't even know where he got him from. He never worked with him. Ragone wasn't his guy. He was like an incumbent. Flip and Laser they from that Andy Reid, that Philadelphia Eagles coaching tree. I think he respects him, and I think that's why last year you actually saw him adjust when they put Mitch back in. They start running the bootlegs. They start running the zone, play action off the boot, running the mesh, you know, short and immediate throws. I think he begrudgingly did it, but I think he respects those guys when they tell him, like, hey, this is what you need to do, because I don't think he would have done it. Under Helfrich, he was just kept doing the RPOs, and Mitch wasn't reading it right. He just kept doing it. I think that part is going to change. I hope that he's learned from that. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt based on what I saw at the end of last season. So I'm not like 2019, I flushed it. You know, I flushed it with Mitch. I stopped blaming Mitch for 2019. It was a mess. I flushed it. So when he came into 2020, it was like all new fresh with me and Mitch. I feel the same way.
But the problem is that, yeah, we switched it up and we started doing some things that Mitch was okay at, right? That he was decent at. I'm not even going to say great, but he was decent at. So you switch that up a little bit. But then you and I, Lucas, I'm sure you've seen it. There are several plays in there where all of a sudden, here comes Nagy calling the play again.
Oh, yeah.
And you see it. And you see exactly what it is. And it's if I can see it, how I'm wondering how he thinks defenses can't see it. I'm not a defensive coordinator. These guys are way smarter than me. You feel me? But if I know what you're about to run, I know you're about to run Cordero Patterson on a jet sweep at the 4-yard line and look stupid doing it. I know that. But, you know, that's you want to fool somebody and try to act like you're not. Hey. Or you run some stupid junk.
Shout out to Ryan Pace, though, because guess what? Cordero Patterson ain't on the roster to run up the gut. Neither is Ryan Nall.
That's true.
I'm a little sad about Cordero. I like the culture that Cordero brought to the team.
I like him, but I think Ryan Pace knew that Matt Nagy couldn't help himself.
Yeah, so he's just like a toy.
Remember Mizell?
Yeah.
He had to get rid
Taekwon.
Of him.
Taekwon, yeah. He had to go too. Yep.
Because he couldn't help himself.
Yep. So I feel like Daz Newsome is going to be like kind of like our new Cordero. And I really like this kid. Let's talk about a little bit more about these other draft picks later in the rounds. Like Daz Newsome, Khalil Herbert, some of the undrafted guys like Khalil McClain, the Thomas Graham kid out of Oregon, who was 73 on most people's big boards. Like, we get him in the sixth round.
You know who I like that was undrafted? I had to look him up. CJ Marble out of Coastal Carolina. He's like a little jittery running back. He's like 5'7", 200 pounds. And I remember him from that game because I was watching Zach Wilson. He got a little – he's fast. He's short. He's like a little bowling ball. He kind of runs around. I know we got Tariq Cohen for that, but
and
I
just thought that was – that's a little stick that sneaks in between your toes.
Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of see what they're doing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like that.
They got a lot of speed.
I do like about what they did with the later rounds. Obviously, the offensive tackles, they got Barome, and they got a wide receiver. They got Daz Newsome. They got a running back. It's almost like Ryan Pace just took away like those little pet projects from Nagy, like Ryan Nall. Mm-hmm. You there's no Ryan Nall because now you got four running backs because you got the guy you just drafted from Virginia Tech, Khalil. You got Damian Williams. People forget about Damian Williams. You got Tariq Cohen and you got David Montgomery.
Like and then this if dude, this other kid makes the roster too. Like that's five running backs on the depth chart.
Yeah. You know, so now you got Daz Newsome. You got Marquise Goodwin. You know, you starting to get speed. You starting to get guys that can get separation. I know people. There was a big debate about Daz Newsome. We can get into this about how he's not fast. Track speed versus play speed.
Yep, Gary Rice.
When you watch him on tape, he's getting open. He has that short area quickness where he jukes and creates space. I think that's like kind of what they're looking for. They're looking for people that can create space. Like Mooney gets open. Those tapes when he's burning Jalen Ramsey, he gets open. And I think that's what they want. They want these kind of quick, fast guys that can run these quick routes and get open, hit them, and they, you know, they pick up a bunch of yak. That's what Kansas City does.
Yeah.
You know?
Guys like Nicole Hardman and Tyreek Hill are like 5'7" and run lightning speed. And they just get open. Nobody can catch him either. Mecole Hardman doesn't even, he's fast, but then there's DeMarcus Robinson who they had, who wasn't quick, like had that flat out speed, but he got open and he was able to do the same things that Mecole and Tyreek were kind of doing because he was able to do that.
That's what Dash reminds me of.
DeMarcus Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good comp. I mean, even at like, I think he could be a little bit better than DeMarcus. DeMarcus is like a 3-4 guy. I think Daz could be like a number two in this league. Like I honestly can see that. He's got great hands, great ball skills, and he's physical, like at the line of scrimmage. I really like him out of North Carolina. I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's good. The issue that he's going to have, and you'll see this unless he corrects it in preseason and training camp and whatever, but his biggest problem, his biggest knock, this is his biggest thing. Everything else is sound, is solid. Route running is good. You know, all of that stuff is good. He catches with his body too much. He catches with his body too much. Yeah. You got to go up, and as a wide receiver, you got to snatch the ball out of the air. You know, you got to have strong hands to snatch the ball out of the air. If he stops catching with his body, he'll be fine. He'll be a really good slot receiver. If that happens, then you're looking at Mooney as being an outside threat, and we got Robinson. I was hoping that they would get a taller wide receiver, right? Because I'm just going to be honest with you. When you have a rookie quarterback and he's young, the windows in the NFL are super tight. They're small, right? Yeah. So the bigger target you have, the bigger the catch radius is, the better for that quarterback until he kind of gets – a couple of years under his belt. I just don't want to see him put in these situations where he has to be super accurate.
Well, he is
because though. He is. But I'm saying in the NFL, it's a whole different ball game, bro.
I'll tell you something exciting though.
Guys get wide open in college, but in the NFL, when they're open, they're only open for a split second, and then that window closes right away. So you got to be either quick with it or you got to be super accurate. And he's that. I'm not saying he's not. But I'm just saying, I just want him to have every opportunity to succeed. We need another big wide receiver.
I agree with that. I was kind of hoping we were going to grab Nico Collins out of Michigan. I think he's got a lot of potential. But the good thing about Daz Newsome, he may be a 5'11". I think he's like 216. But he had some of the longest arms coming out of the receiver position. I'm pretty sure they were at like 28.5 inches. And like the tackle, Tevin Jenkins' arms are 34. Inches. Like that's not far off from a 6'6 guy to a 5'11 guy. Like his wingspan's about like 6'3, 6'4. So like he's got the wingspan to go up and grab the ball. And the thing that I keep on, I saw a clip of him reaching over a Duke defender.
I saw that
catching the ball. Like so that shows me that he has the ability to go and get balls with his hands and make the play. He's just got to get out of his head and stop.
Yeah.
Like a little kid like catching the deep ball and pulling it in with your body because your arms aren't big enough to make the catch. So,
when you catch with your body in the NFL, when you get hit, the ball is going to pop up every time. You know what I mean? So you got to snatch that ball. You got to snatch it.
Yeah, you get him on the jug machine.
Yeah, he get with Mooney, man. Mooney know about that jug machine. Yeah,
you can get him on the jug machine, man. He can fix it out. But this circles back. Like you were saying, we got A-Rob. He's a big wide receiver. I think, Ridley's big. He never sees the field. Javon Williams is big, but he couldn't get separation to save his life. You still got the big tight ends. You still got Graham. You still got Cole Kmet, 6'7" guys. So you got some weapons. Like,
Ridley steps up this year, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they need to give him a shot. They need to give him a shot. He's not that fast, and I think that's kind of the thing, you know. But, I mean, he's like 6'1", 6'2".
Mm-hmm. You know, I've really liked Ridley ever since we drafted him. I was very excited to get him. I mean, he was great at Georgia. I mean, his brother is Calvin Ridley, one of the top 15 receivers in the league, probably, if he's always healthy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the same speed as his brother. Definitely not. Close. But he's got more size. He's bigger. He's stronger. Like, I think he would really succeed in the slot, even as that bigger build. like just because he doesn't have the speed to outrun outside corners. Just get physical. Have him on slant routes, 5 yard ends, like.
Mm-hmm. This is actually his game. He catches the ball, you know, breaks one or two tackles. He ain't going to be a big explosive receiver, but just kind of move the chains kind of guy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like just a guy definitely. That just move the chains, like
kind of like Bennett. Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan.
Earl Bennett's a good example as well.
Just catch the ball, move the chains, first down, next play, you know, type of deal. But man, I'm telling you guys, like before this draft, I watched so much breakdowns of Justin Fields. This kid is. I'm telling you, like, his accuracy, like, I don't think people really understand. Like, look at how many wide receivers got drafted from Ohio State last night. Anybody remember anybody?
I don't think any came out.
His best receiver is Chris Olave. I don't even know if he was drafted.
He stayed at Ohio State.
That's the point.
None of them came out this year. They were all sophomores.
You look at Mac Jones. Who do you have? Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Mm-hmm. You look at Kyle Trask. He had Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts. Justin Fields didn't have that. Justin Fields was the man.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man.
The same thing goes for Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence had a receiver taken. Yeah, yeah. His running back got taken in the first round on the same team, which I think is super fucking dope. But he had Amari Rodgers. Like, that was his guy. And then, like, before that, he had what the fuck was his name? He's on the Bengals. Big ass dude, T. Higgins.
So
he had guys, but like they weren't. They're nothing spectacular.
Joe Burrow had dudes.
He had dudes. Like Justin dudes. Jefferson, Jamar Chase, maybe Jefferson might be the best receiver in the NFL next year or the next 3 years. Like that kid can straight out play. And I think the same's possible for Jamar Chase. I thought they made a terrible decision taking him. I thought they should have taken Sewell. I mean, the dude's leg is
exactly like cut
I feel the same way.
But I think Justin Fields is like one of those quarterbacks just based on college that he doesn't need. Like, I think his receivers that in the Bears, I mean, even though it's college and in NFL, it doesn't translate, might be the most talented weapons that he's played with. You know, like you got a couple of legit tight ends. You got couple of legit running backs that can catch the ball. You got Mooney, who's a speed threat. Goodwin, who's a speed threat. Allen Robinson is a big physical receiver. You know, you got the boy. This may be the most talented people around him that he's played with.
Oh, definitely. I think so. I mean, Chris Olave is a stud. Yeah. I really like Chris Olave. He'll probably be a first, second round guy next year. But Darnell Mooney's better than him.
Yeah.
I don't know if Daz Newsome is. I mean, Allen Robinson. Yeah, Allen Robinson is a Pro Bowler, like top 10 receiver in this league when he's doing what he wants and he's got a good quarterback, which we'll actually find out.
Yeah, and we expect Cole Kmet to take a step. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he started to come on at the end of last year.
That's a good thing. At least we got Cole Kmet. He's 6'6". You know what I mean?
Big, getting reached target.
Yeah. So, you know, you think about that wide receiver room, right? We got Anthony Miller. We got Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. We got Javon Wims, Marquise Goodwin, right? That's five. And then you got the rookie that we drafted, right? So now you're looking at six, seven. How many wide receivers ain't gonna carry? Probably five, right? So you figure somebody. You think they carry six?
Yeah, Nagy usually does.
Most NFL teams now carry six, just because of injuries and such.
I got you.
I think either Miller or Wims are gone. Those two are fighting for their spot on this depth chart. I think it's going to be Miller is the one that is out because he's flat out booty. He's wearing, it looks like he wears flip flops when he's running routes. Dude can't do shit.
I think it's going to be Wims.
Yeah. I think Wims for sure.
I think Wims has less talent than Miller. I just think what George said and what like Nez has been saying about all this shit, like, I don't see how the owner says, like, I do not want him here. He straight up said that how he's on the team. That's my only thing. Unless he comes out, has a great training camp, great preseason, is balling, Justin Fields and him make a great connection, that's the only way I see Anthony Miller sticking around.
Mm. Yeah, man. Anthony Miller.
I look at Wims, man. He really hasn't – I mean, his numbers, bro. you got to look at his numbers and it's like, you know.
I mean, he hasn't had much playing time, but he's still booty, like straight up. I mean, like he has like five drops on like seven targets or some shit.
Yeah, like even when he plays, he don't do nothing.
All he does is throw weak ass punches.
He got 28 catches in 3 years, man.
Hey, come on, man. Nah, he gone. He's a 7-round draft pick, so you know,
it ain't nothing. That's you don't expect that much out of a 7th-round wide receiver to make it and be a ball player in the league. I mean, Edelman was a fucking anomaly.
I think they keep Miller just because he was a 2nd-round pick.
Yeah, you bring him into camp. It don't hurt you. It's like, why it don't hurt you to bring him into camp? You know, he may be at home. He may be fired up watching all these, you know, players get drafted and they bring in Goodwin, and he may be, you know, he put in a work. But if not, we ready to move on without you, bro. And now we got a franchise QB. So the mood has changed. Like I was saying, I posted this on Twitter. Like, oh, I posted the video of Skip Bayless. I'm back, baby. What it do? Allen Robinson, all of a sudden, he wanted out of town. But now, oh, you got Justin Fields, man. I might need to stay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm so fucking excited for this season. I'm so fucking excited. I know Justin Fields probably won't play. Maybe like at all. Maybe if we get up in the 4th quarter, he'll jump in, get a couple of drives in, maybe a drive here and there. But
I don't know, man. I'm starting to think otherwise. I know it's a, you know, I know DeVore, our third partner in crime, our third king there. He wants the guy to sit, but I'm just gonna be real with you. I mean, he's gonna be when they go into training camp, he's gonna be head and shoulders above, Andy Dalton. And how do you tell the team? How do you tell a team full of guys who want to win? Like how do you look at Khalil Mack and say, yeah, we just gonna run with Dalton because we just want to let him. But he gonna look at you like, what the heck, bro? Like, I can't waste my career. You know what I'm saying?
Pop Matt Nagy's peanut head with his muscles if he says that to him. Right.
How do you do that? So in my opinion, if he go, the biggest thing is if he's able to learn the playbook. If he's able to learn the playbook, he's going to be able to do way more than Andy Dalton could dream of doing, right?
Yeah.
As far as talent on the football field. So – I don't see how they could just keep him out of the lineup the whole year. I don't see it working. I think they'll end up putting him in.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I hope he plays. That is like the all time high of highs. Like, but I just like week one, I don't think there's a chance he's starting unless he like comes into camp and just completely dominates. Like just shows out like I am the guy. I have all of the juice.
Like Russ did in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Ended Matt Hasselbeck's fucking career.
Yeah. And Matt Flynn, he got signed to that huge contract. And they was true. We cut you. We got to let you go.
Yeah, we got a guy.
This dude is somebody here. This dude is somebody.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I was telling Nez, like, I agree with you, but you can't deny the talent.
Yeah,
like you can't sit up here and go to camp and see Justin Fields just wrecking shop, bro. Like he's just darting, just everybody knows it. They're like, ooh, ah. And then you like, no, man, we're not going to play him. You know, like Alex Smith held off Patrick Mahomes because he had a good season.
Right.
It wasn't like they just said, oh, yeah, we just go play Alex Smith hella hot water. Alex Smith threw 4,000 yards.
Exactly.
So they didn't have a choice. They were like, why would we? And then, and also somebody else pointed to me, Alex Smith had been there 4 or 5 years before Pat Mahomes came. It's a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's an Andy Dalton team.
Yeah. Very
He's a free agent. Yeah. So when they come into camp, and if Justin Fields is tearing it up, bro, you can't not play him. And he was like, look at Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray started right away. Look what he did. Justin Herbert started right away. Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, all these guys started right away. If he's good enough to start right away, start him.
Start him.
I completely agree with that. I just think the best scenario for him right now, as I see it, would be to sit. I don't even think the whole season. At least 4 games. Get used to it. Really, like, get the playbook in. Like, even if he completely understands it after training camp, let him really soak that shit up. Like, I know I just got out of getting out of training at my new job. I've actually just now actually figuring out like what I'm supposed to be doing. And so like, it's like the same shit. Like, you don't want to push somebody into something too quick. Like with Mitch, he got pushed into the starting role way too fast. Like I think if Mitch would have been able to sit a full year, maybe even a year and a half, and really learn and develop and think about what the fuck is going on, he would have actually had a chance in this league. He could have been something because he was talented. But
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Mitch came in with 13 games under his belt. You know what I mean? As a starter and for North Carolina, not playing, you know what I'm saying?
Sun Bowl.
But yeah, exactly. So, you know, you got Justin Fields. It's a little bit different. He's a 2-year starter. He's been to two different programs that are top notch programs in the nation.
Yeah, nothing short but excellence, you know?
Exactly.
He's been in the spotlight since high school. Yeah. Him and Trevor Lawrence, like I you guys watch ESPN, they've been on that Elite 11.
Yeah.
When he's a babyface kid.
He was on Netflix. Yeah. He was on Netflix.
This this is like when Deshaun Watson, you got to understand, this guy has been in the spotlight. He's been in the pressure. He's been battling Trevor Lawrence his whole life. They're both from Georgia, right?
Right.
This is
about 30 minutes apart from each other.
They've been doing this forever.
Right.
So, to me, he's a different breed. And I'm looking at, like, Kyler Murray didn't even start. He only started, like, 1 year, too, right? And he started. He came in and started.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm cool with Dalton starting if he's better, if he's playing better than Justin Fields. You can't tell me that Justin Fields can't run that offense that, like, Mitch was running last year.
Yeah.
Or Foles.
You can't tell me that he can't run some bootlegs, you know. And he probably would take a couple more deep shots. And if he just did that, we'll get our first 4,000-yard passer because he would actually hit the people down the field because he's accurate as hell throwing the ball downfield.
Right.
You can actually make an offense and run it with Justin Fields, and I guarantee you he will break every single Bears record as a rookie off the bat. He would throw 30 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, easy.
You know, I was thinking about the whole quarterback room situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's crazy that we got Flip, we got Laser, we got Nagy, you know, a combination of who's the quarterback coach?
Flip.
Yeah, and then you got Laser, who's like quasi.
He's OC. Duke. He's Nagy from going off the rails. That's why.
and then you got Nagy calling plays. He's the coordinator, head coach, calling plays, whatever you want to call it. So you got this weird dynamic, right? And in my ideal for me is like, okay, Nick Foles, we know what he is, right? Mm-hmm. Are we going to keep him around? Can we free up some money? Can we, you know what I mean? I'm looking at it like that. Who do you keep? I would keep Dalton, and I would if I was Laser or not Laser, but Flip and Nagy, they got such a good relationship with him. It's like, bro, like it's done. The end of the road for you here. You know what I mean? Why don't you just be a quarterback coach and help this dude learn the playbook and do this and do that?
I think
free up this money. And I think that would be a good – I mean, that would be
– I think, honestly, that's what's going to happen.
That's what he is. I honestly think de facto that's what he is. He is literally
I don't think
he's going to see the field.
I don't want to pay him $8 million to do that, though. I want to pay him, like, you know.
But the crazy thing about his contract, though, the crazy thing about Foles' contract is this year, they have to – if they cut him, they pay him more than they would if they keep him. So the way they restructured it. So it's almost like unless you find somebody that's willing to trade for him, which nobody's going to be willing to trade for. Maybe a team gets desperate right before the season and give you.
Yeah, maybe the Lions. Maybe Jared Goff gets hurt, and then whoever they have as the backup.
Yeah, you just need the backup. Like, that's the only hope you have.
That makes the Andy Dalton situation just look that much worse.
It does.
God, dog.
It does. But to me, trust me, I honestly think that's what Nick Foles is. Nick Foles is a de facto quarterbacks coach.
Hmm.
He's a de facto because he's probably not even going to be active, bro. Like, I think he's just going to be, like, just on the sideline.
On the sideline with a headset. And
talking to Justin. Like, okay. They're going to give you a cover 2 look.
Honestly.
And they're going to drop into a cover 4. And when you do that, you got to run the sale constantly. You know, that's what he's going to be doing.
I mean, if I was Justin Fields, I would be on Nick Foles' hip. Like,
they're both, like, religious dudes. So, I believe that's going to be a case. And I think that's another thing that plays into it.
Like, he should be on his hip, like, learning everything. Like, honestly, go live with the dude.
He might. I was going to say he might live at his house.
Like, go live with him. Learn the fucking offense. Just talk football all day, every day. Because, I mean, Nick Foles is a good dude. Big Dick Nick don't fuck around. Like,
people love him. They love him.
I love Big Dick Nick. Like, yeah. Dude, that dude's motherfucker's got swag out the ass. Like,
hey, he's limited as hell, but he's yolo. Yeah. I give him that. He knows it. I'm slow. I got a weak arm.
And he's smart.
Ain't nothing but big. Yeah.
He's smart, too. He's able to communicate, right? Yeah. So, I mean, because you see him communicating with players, with coaches, that's one thing that Mitch couldn't do. You couldn't, mm-hmm. you didn't see Mitch like command the team, the huddle, the, you know what I mean?
No,
it was
never,
you know, it was like, and that's the thing. He was inexperienced in that factor, right? He only mm-hmm. ran 13 games in college, bro. And now you ask him to step in and deal with men that's 25, 30 years old, that like, got families and kids, you know what I mean?
Who are you?
And you're trying to lead them. And it's like, he didn't have that presence. He didn't have it, right? So, you know, I think Justin Fields has that, though. People follow definitely. Him. You know
see that
mean?
Video of him pumping him up before the Clemson game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to walk in here and beat these motherfuckers' faces in. Like, what? Yeah, let's go.
And just like Watson, people have watched him on the TV do it. Yeah. So when he goes in that Bears huddle, they know, like, hey, you saw that Clemson game when he took that shot? And he came back in and threw 6 touchdowns? Yeah, that's my dog. Not only that, he's the reason why the Big Ten played football. I haven't heard too many people mention this. They weren't going to have a season. He was leading the petition, got all these petitions signed. He was all on Good Morning America to get – that's leadership. He walks in that walk – you see the Eddie Jackson video? He was like
– hyped.
Because they know. He watched that Alabama game. He's seen the Clemson game. They have been watching this kid. Richard Sherman, if you watch that Elite 11 thing, Richard Sherman was on there and Justin Fields was tearing it up. And he looked in the camera. He said, shit, there's 6 or 7 NFL teams right now that will have this guy to start. And he was in high school.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman. Yeah. The guy who literally one of the clowns greatest our quarterbacks.
Right.
Yes. He clowns our quarterbacks. He was in high school. He was like, Justin Fields can start for 6 or 7 teams right now. It's a different ball game, bro.
Me too.
Endorsed by Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton was at his high school, didn't even go to high school there. Was just like, yeah, this little bro, he's going to be somebody. And like, when you have NFL caliber quarterbacks, like looking down at a high school kid, like, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's special. Nobody was talking about Mitch in high school. I mean, yeah, he won the Ohio, Mr. Ohio. Who gives a fuck? Like, Ohio football dudes suck my ass. Those dudes eat corn and smoke cigarettes and drink Bush Light. Like, fuck nah. Mitch didn't do any of that.
Bush?
He didn't drink Bush Light. He was drinking driving a Camry. Hell nah. Football comes from the South, Texas, California. That's where football comes from. Where are all these quarterbacks from? Georgia. Where's Deshaun from? Is he from where? Carolina?
I think he's from Georgia.
Anybody from Georgia, too?
I think he is.
Georgia don't play around when it comes to football.
Nah, Georgia don't. It's religion. Like, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Texas.
Yeah.
They don't play around.
That's why I want to move to Texas so my kids can grow up and eat, breathe, and live high school Texas football. Like what the fuck? Because I ain't gonna give them nothing towards their athleticism. I'm just a chef. Short little fat white kid that can't do shit. I had good hands. That was it. You're going to get that. The mom ain't – she's short too. She's 5'8", white as hell, ain't got no athleticism. Maybe some. She was a dancer. But my kids ain't got shit. So, like, they're going to have to be playing hard-nosed, tough football to be able to do some shit. And that's what Justin Fields brings. Like,
yeah, like the dudes, man. I can't believe – I can't even elaborate. Like, I'm not even that great I'm not a quarterback, guys. Like – but man, I suggest anybody to log on to QB school and JT O'Sullivan got like a 7-part breakdown. He Justin Fields was his QB1. He had him above Trevor Lawrence.
He was my QB1.
Yeah. So
I think he has far higher upside than Trevor Lawrence does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at it, you say, okay, yeah, I can see it. Because what is, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, done? I mean, that this guy really hasn't done. I mean, their numbers are eerily similar. I posted it in our thread. I'll show it to you too, Lucas. It's like, it's the same. Mm-hmm. It's like the same. And they've been just battling. And it's crazy how one guy's a boom. He's no doubt number one. This guy just falls to number.
I got 11. It right here. I got his numbers right here. They win loss since 2019, since he became the starting quarterback at Ohio State, since he transferred. 20-2 for Justin Fields, 23-2 for Trevor Lawrence. Completion percentage, 68 for Justin Fields, 67 for Lawrence. Passing yards per game, 244 to 272. Lawrence is up in that. Touchdowns to interceptions, 63-9 for Fields, 60-13 for Lawrence. Rushing touchdowns, 15 for Fields, 17 for Lawrence. Their numbers are close.
I mean, if you would have given me both of those numbers, I wouldn't have been able to tell you which one was which. Well, actually, I would have because I knew Justin Fields threw 9 interceptions. But, like, they're saying the guy. The only thing that just Trevor Lawrence has over him is that he's 6'6", and he's won a national championship.
Yeah, I was going to say,
The only won difference. But right. Justin Fields has been to 2.
Yeah.
Right.
Been to 2.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. He could have won that, you know, if he wasn't. I think if he didn't have the cracked ribs, he might have taken out my Bama team, man. But he was hurt that game. People don't understand. Like, that's more impressive when you watch that Clemson game. He, after he got crushed, he threw like a 70-yard bomb, bro.
Right. Broken ribs. You can't breathe when that shit happens. I broke my ribs before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit is not, I've hairline fractured one of my ribs. So like it was barely like shit. And I was like bawling my eyes out. Like
under the bright light. To me, when you do that, that's when I was sold on Justin Fields. Cause then I gave him a little criticism throughout the year. But when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, dude. Like you get all the respect from me, dude. You can't coach that.
Mm-mm. No, that's heart. It. That's heart.
That's that it. Oh, he has it. He has it.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. Yeah, it.
I mean, like, there's you don't see very many dudes with that.
No.
Like, ever. Like, nobody thought Tom Brady had it, but he did.
But he did.
Jerry Rice, you like, the moment he stepped on the football field, that guy's got it.
Yep.
Randy Moss tearing shit up at Marshall. Mm-hmm. That dude's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Young, Joe Montana, like those are the guys that like you know they just got that mentality. Like Michael Jordan, it's the same way. LeBron James, the same way. Like these dudes just are like built fucking different.
Yeah, like Justin Fields, people were saying, and you know, some people like, well, he didn't look happy when he got drafted. No, he didn't. You know why? Because he felt he should have went first overall. Mm-hmm. And so he's pissed. And he's not like a rah-rah kind of guy. He has that internal fire type of thing. Mm-hmm. So he's just like, okay. You motherfuckers picked me 11th. Okay.
Right.
I got you. And that's what he's thinking. He can't help it. He's wired that way.
Right.
So he's not going to be happy he went to 11 like any other quarterback. Oh, I'm so happy I got drafted. I hope to be a good thing. That's what like Mitch would have said. Mitch would be like, oh, I had a little smile. Hey, I'm happy. I'm going to work really hard and cliche. No, Justin Fields is pissed off. And then he probably sat back and was like, you know what? I'm actually in a better position because guess what? I look across the field, I got Khalil Mack. I got Akeem Hicks. I got Bilal Nichols. I got Eddie Jackson, Eddie Goldman, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, Jalen Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I got A-Rob. I got Mooney. I got Komet. They drafted me a tackle. I got Cohen. I got 1,000-yard rusher in Montgomery. Oh, I'm good. I'm about to tear the league up, dude. He is on a vengeance, man.
Yeah. I Andy's battling with epilepsy on top of it all.
Yeah.
On top of it all, this man has epilepsy. He's never suffered from a seizure or anything, which is awesome.
Since like ninth grade, he said.
Yeah, but he suffers with epilepsy. Dude, that's insane. Literally, the lights flashing at a game could make him have a seizure at any moment. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. And Trevor Lawrence is out here saying, like, I don't need football.
I'm all right without it. It don't matter.
Which yeah, I'm good. Like, I kind of respect it out of him. That he says that, like, I'm so fucking good that I don't need this, which is kind of dope. Like, I get it. Where I don't like it. I don't like it. I wouldn't want my QB saying that, but I understand his thought process. Like, I know that I can succeed outside of life without football.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys do, but it's one thing to say it. You know what I mean? It's like, a lot of these guys know that, but it's one thing to say it. You don't say it. You can know it, you know, but, you know, and that's the thing. Like,
you don't want to say it because there are guys in your locker room. If you're asking people to follow you, there are guys in your locker room who give their all, blood, sweat, and tears. Mm-hmm. That's all they do is study film. All they do is work out. All they do they don't have the natural God-given talent, right, that mm-hmm. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence have had since kids, right? Some of them have had to go through more difficult things to get to the pros, to get to the mm-hmm. NFL. And when you're in that locker room with those guys, you got to respect that grind. So you would never say nothing like that.
Yeah.
Because then how are those guys going to follow you? How are they going to respect you if you say, hey, I could walk away from this tomorrow and not care? Or, yeah, we lost the Super Bowl. Or, no, they lost the championship game. Or they lost the game to Clemson to Ohio State when Fields threw for 6 touchdowns, right? Yeah, but it's no big deal because I gave it my all. Nobody wants to hear that. I know I didn't. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you want to hear that, Will? If you're playing, oh, we gave it our all, or you know, it ain't
okay. Well, I tried.
Yeah, no, nobody want to hear that. It's like, nah, bro, yeah. No. We put it's a lot of dudes that out there that put in a whole lot, man, a whole lot.
So, have you guys read Urban Meyer's book?
No.
No. So it's called Above the Line.
No.
So it's like the culture that they had at Ohio State, and he brought it from Florida as well. So it's mm-hmm. like, make sure you have everything above the line. Everything you do above the line. Mm-hmm. Don't go below it, because then you aren't it. You aren't going to do it. And like, that's kind of like weird to me that he drafted a guy that said, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I need football.
It was set in stone, though. They had given him a playbook already.
Yeah. They did.
So like, I mean, I understand why. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is
incredibly
talented. Yeah. Incredibly intelligent. Like, he could go down as, I think him and Justin Fields both have the potential to be the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Right.
I think that I said both of these guys are going to be stars. Like, everybody else to me, it was like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, stars. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, gambles. They could go either way. Yeah. I'm dead serious. They can go boom or bust. One might be a awesome player. One might be Josh Allen. One might be the next Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, but it's also a possibility they can bust out. To me, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields were like, they're going to be stars. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. Like, you can't tell me anything. Mac Jones, he might be serviceable. He might be Kirk Cousins.
I don't think he's anything more or less than serviceable.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good starter for 15, 20 years in this
like
league.
Like a Dalton.
Yeah, and he will play very well. He'll lead the Patriots to playoffs. Maybe he'll win a Super Bowl because Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick. But he's not going to be extreme excellence, best quarterback in the league like they've had with Tom Brady. No. Like, that's not it.
Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are the type of people that are just good at whatever they do. Like, mm-hmm. like, you know, this guy could have went pro playing baseball. They just, you got that person. I'm like, hey, first day in swim class. And next thing you know, he's doing a backstroke. And he's like, what the hell? How the hell you do that? He picks up a tennis racket. You're like, he's good at that. That's who they are. They're just mm-hmm. these genetic, athletic freaks, intelligent freaks, because both of them intelligence off the charts. You know, they just pick things up. They're physically mm-hmm. gifted. Whatever level you take them to, they just rise up to it. Like, you know, people are like, well, I don't know if they're going to do it. These people just rise up to their level. They go to the NFL and like, oh, okay. You know, these guys are freaks running 4.4s, you know, and throwing the ball 80 yards. You can't on a dime. You know, these guys are going to be stars, you know, mm-hmm. and Chicago Bears fans, man, enjoy this. We deserve this. You know, we're going to get the chance to watch this guy. We just got to show him his love and make sure the organization supports him, man, because we got us one, man.
And I'm going to be honest with you. For anybody who's a Bears fan, out there, and you wanted somebody else, you wanted Zach Wilson, you wanted Trevor Lawrence, you wanted anybody else in this draft, right? Trey Lance, whoever. Get behind the dude. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not being a hypocrite when I say that, because I didn't want Mitch Trubisky, but I was behind him. Mm-hmm. I was behind him. I wanted him to succeed. Don't sit here and act like you want the dude to fail just so that you could be right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, this dude may be with he's going to be with our team for at least 4 years, probably at least 5 years. You got a fifth-year option because he's a first-round draft pick. And then – a signing after that as well. So mm-hmm. get behind the dude, man. Like, don't root for him to fail just because you wanted to be right and say, we should have had Zach Wilson or we should have had this other guy. to me, that's bogus, man. That's not
See,
really
now. My favorite real. Thing now is that we Bears fans can't say we should have had
right
Wilson, Lance, or Lawrence. Like they but say,
you got some. You got some out there that's like that, though, man.
We could say we could have said we should have had Mac Jones. Like, no, that is what I don't want to hear. Right. That is the last thing. If I hear somebody say we should have had Zach Wilson, we should have had shut the fuck up. I don't care.
I'm dead serious. I feel the same way because
like you're a fucking moron. Like it's a blessing. They went 10 picks in front of them.
Yeah, it's a blessing that they didn't even have a choice to get him. I think this was their guy. I do think this was their guy.
I think so too.
I think like for those fans, like I don't know what you're looking at, bro. I said my piece on Zach Wilson. I think he's talented. I think he has skill set and he's a good guy. And I wish him the best in New York because it's a bad situation. He looks like a 14-year-old boy. And he beat up on North Dakota State and San Diego State, which is a party school, and got shellacked by Coastal Carolina. He wasn't in the prime time taking shots against Clemson, playing Alabama and Michigan. Right, like, right. I don't care what you can say. Like, you can't tell, like, you can take me down. And like, when I was growing up playing basketball, and I would play kids my age, I would dominate them. But when I played my cousins who were in college, these D1 athletes, I had to play a role. I wasn't the same player. you know, it's a step up in competition. And it's real. Unless you play the sport, it is real. Mm-hmm. Like when I went to UAB, when I was in Birmingham, and my cousins and them were playing at University of Alabama, and I'm a 16-year-old kid, I wasn't able to drive to the hole the way I was able to drive to the hole when I was playing other 16-year-olds. And it's the same thing in NFL. Like there's a talent jump. And so, like, he's going to have to – can he get past that? Yes, because other people have done it. You had Steve McNair and guys like that, and even Carson Wentz when he – before he fell off, had to make that jump. So, yeah, he can make that jump. Josh Allen had to make that jump. Right. But he's going to have to take a jump. It's a jump from BYU playing, whatever, Texas State, and going and playing even LSU. And that's not an NFL team. And then it's a jump from playing LSU – to playing the Baltimore Ravens. Like, yeah, they're going to try to tear your head off because you're the number two pick. You look like you're 14 years old. They're going to be talking about your girlfriend. They're going to be talking about your mama. Oh, they're going to hit you. They're going to knee you in the gut. They're going to pick off your pass and hand you the ball. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be doing all that. And Justin Fields, he's ready for that.
Right.
He ain't going to take that.
No, but he played against dudes that were in the NFL. He played like Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman was his wide receiver in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Like they know half these guys because they grew up playing against them.
Yep.
So it's not he's one of the boys like Zach Wilson. That's why he looked out of place when they showed that video because he's like, oh my God, I got to play against these dudes. Like, yeah, bro, you had to play Khalil Mack.
I feel like I would have been more like 100% more comfortable in Zach Wilson's situation. Like the way he responded to that was just so awkward. Like he had never been around five black dudes like, at the same time. Like ever. Like he was on a college football team. I know BYU had black men on. Like, yeah. Like they had to have. Like
but these are different brothers. Brothers from Utah. And brothers from Georgia and Atlanta and Detroit and Cleveland aren't the same. Bruh,
he got definitely not. Nervous. That look on his face was like he was lost.
He was afraid. He was scared.
He wanted to lock his doors.
Like, I live on the north side of Chicago, like, in Logan Square. Like, sometimes I forget to lock my doors. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, fuck, but whatever, I guess. Like...
Yeah, he got to lead a locker room.
Yeah, like lead a franchise. Locker room, one with Quinnen Williams. That man is terrifying. He's 6'4", 375 pounds. He's going to be walking in there with his belly and titties out, talking shit. Talking shit. And Zach Wilson is going to be like, dude. Not even dude. He's going to be like, all right, sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm just here to throw a football. Like,
yeah. Can you imagine his receiver snapping on him because he was open and he threw? Why you throw me the motherfucking ball, Zach?
Like Jameson Crowder's gonna bite his head off. Like this 5'5" little fucking animal is gonna be like, what? Like,
give me the ball, bitch.
I'm open, bitch. Like.
I feel for that kid, man.
Whole ass motherfucker, like.
Because even Mac Jones, he went to Alabama. He can take that.
Uh-huh. You know, he had Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith being like,
Right.
Bitch, yeah. You better hit me.
I'm open. Like, come on. Like, you, I know Trevor Lawrence is going to handle that situation. He played in Clemson. He looks like he's Jesus. Everybody's a Jesus QB. Justin Fields is going to be at it. Zach Wilson? I got some questions.
Got some questions. Major questions, bro. That's
a great point. Like, Zach Wilson can all have all the talent in the world, but can he lead a locker room of grown-ass men?
He looks like
that's
a boy.
That's my biggest question with Zach Wilson. Can he better, lead that?
He's gonna have to go Pat Mahomes because Pat Mahomes has the weird froggy voice. But he was still Texas though, you know.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, he's still Texas guy. So and he had to talk like a frog, but I throw the balls 80 year.
And his
80
dad
yards
was also
run.
In the MLB, so like that, yeah. Like he had that like professional like mentality raised into him. So, like, he understood that from a long time.
And he's just
time.
So damn good that, you know, guys, that's what Zach Wilson is going to – he's going to have to be so good that people just follow him because, dude, he's going to have a rough time. He's going to get grow a beard and get some tattoos or something.
Oh, he's got to get some tattoos. I don't think his mama will like it. I don't think his daddy will like it. Mm-hmm. I don't think his – whatever they call it in Mormons, pastor, minister, father. Like, I don't know what – he's not going to like it. But, boy, you better get – a full sleeve of Hell's Angels.
He gonna have to catch a case. You gonna have to get in a bar fight, stab somebody with a big bottle.
Don't catch mono. Fucking hook up with 10 chicks at one time. You gotta gain some
Post
respect.
Post it on Instagram. Post it on
go hook up with some porn stars like Jimmy Garoppolo did. That's how he earned respect. I've met Jimmy G. Jimmy G was a dude. That dude... Yeah. Didn't give a fuck. I had buddies that went to Eastern. I went and partied with them all the time. I've met Jimmy Garoppolo for like split seconds, and dude did not give a fuck. He knew he was the man, and that's why I think Jimmy made it in the league because he's just some white dude from Arlington Heights.
He's like, a pimp.
Yeah, he's a baller. I mean, he was hooking up with porn stars and shit. Like, you don't do that unless you have it. Like, Jimmy G's doesn't have the talent, but he's got that mentality. I don't know if Zach Wilson's got it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a learning curve.
For sure.
Man, so,
what a weekend, fellas.
Oh, yeah, man. It has been a weekend.
A big build up to 3 days, man. And man, we was bad on them. You know what? And I just want to take this time, too, because I've been critical of Ryan Pace, right? I'm critical of Matt Nagy. And they deserve criticism at certain times.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also want to give them their props. And I want to give especially Ryan Pace his credit because, man, I didn't see him getting it done, man. I really didn't.
Not either.
He's God.
The fact that he was able to pull it off, man, it's impressive. And not only that, but, you know, he was patient with it, right? You know, he probably made phone calls to them other teams and stuff up earlier because I was like, man, once we went past 6 and into 8, I was like, ah, here we go. You know what I mean? I was down. So – you know, he was patient, man. He got it done. And then not only that, but he was able to move up. And we got a dude at tackle that is a first-round talent. We got him at the 39th pick. I mean, he was mocked in most drafts to go around 20. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the fact that we was able to do that he was able to pull that you know, out of a rabbit, that rabbit out of a hat, man, you got to give him credit. Oh, so yeah, credit absolutely. Is due. I give you your credit. It ain't over yet, though, man. We still got work to do.
Definitely not.
Nah, because it's on Nagy now. Yeah, you know, I believe Nagy had a big part in the QB evaluation, so I give him that. But it's up to Nagy now. Like, I don't want to hear excuses. You know, like, Dan be making me defend Nagy because I have to play the and I got issues with Matt Nagy. I call him a overqualified cheeseburger fetcher for Andy Reid. So, but he be making me the figures. I got to balance it out.
I'll be on him too hard.
You be on him. And I just try to temper it down a little bit. You know?
Yeah, but Curtis does the same for me. I be on his ass.
But we got to see. Like, I told you I didn't have any excuses for Andy Dalton. I damn sure don't got no excuses for Justin Fields because I believe Justin Fields is a top shelf quarterback. Like, this dude can be a top five quarterback in NFL in a matter of a year or two. I think he's that good.
My comp to him is Russell Wilson.
Yeah. A bigger Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's bigger, faster, stronger Russell Wilson. Like, he definitely has the mind for it. He definitely has the legs and ability. Has more arm talent for however that is fucking possible. But, like, I'm so excited for I cannot wait for August to roll around and we get into training camp. I'm making my way to Halas Hall in Lake Forest to go watch some fucking Bears training camp for sure. Whatever I got to do. Like, man, fuck, dude. I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah, you got the tackles. And that was the second thing we said. I said this as often. I said, you got to get the quarterback. You got to get the tackles.
Yep.
We got a couple tackles. We got offensive line dub.
They can both start.
You got adequate weapons. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to hear no excuses. I want to see – This offense, somebody was like, we should have a top, 20, at least at number 20. I was like, nah, bro, we ain't make moves to be number 20. No. We made moves to be in the top half of the league.
Top 10.
If not top 10, exactly. You have an elite type quarterback, bro. You don't go number 22nd offense. Nah. If you go number 27, Hawkins, bro, you're getting fired.
Yeah. Right. I think if Justin, I think the only way Matt Nagy, if they are in that like 20th to 24th where they've been moving back and forth since 2018 he got here and with offense, is if Andy Dalton is the quarterback.
Yeah, if Andy Dalton, yeah, you bringing him along. I can kind of see that.
But I can if Justin Fields that. Is the quarterback, dude, we better be in the top 10. We better be. Maybe top 15, I'll take that.
At minimum.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, he has the potential to be a 3,500 yard passer, 4,000 yard passer.
He'd be 4,000
easily.
5,000, honestly.
Yeah, he's that. I try to tell people he is that good. Like Andy Dalton's a 3,500 yard passer. Justin Fields can walk in here and just break every Bears.
Mitch is a 34. Mitch from what?
Yeah, Mitch. Like, yeah,
3,400.
No, yeah, this dude can throw 300 yards a game, 250 yards a game. Because to get the 4,000, you just got to throw like 250 yards a game. And then he's going to run the ball. And then he's going to, he's a complete just threat. He's a problem.
I'm so excited to see that 4.4 speed. So yeah. excited to see it.
Yeah, he's a problem. You break contain, he'll go 80 yards.
Definitely. My favorite thing about this is I no longer have to root against him. I'm rooting for him. Because it was a problem for me because I loved watching him play. And it was always against Michigan and him just kicking my ass
at
week in and week out. But
yeah, that was like me and Watson with Alabama. Yeah, he beat us in the national championship, but that's like, I love him, but he beat, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
He beat Bama, but hey man, I tell people enjoy the ride, watch as much Justin Fields content as you can, man. It's like so many breakdowns on the internet.
He's exciting.
Watch all the throws and just be like, damn, it's a new era, baby.
Absolutely.
That's it, man. It's that time.
Yeah.
It's that time. We about to make strides now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to see what happens for sure.
And all things are not over with yet. We still got, some free agency is going to pick up. We got undrafted rookies coming.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can pick up Dylan Moses.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a first-round talent guy last year, and then he gets hurt, and then he opts out this season. No, he didn't get drafted. He went undrafted, which was insane to me.
No, but I'm saying nobody signed him as undrafted.
I don't think anybody has signed him yet. And with the questions on Danny Trevathan, I mean,
Jaguars did.
Oh, the Jags signed him.
Yeah,
lucky bastards. Well, anyway, I guess that's out of the fucking book. But they got a fucking first round pick and for nothing, which is fucking insane.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Dang, I wanted him too, man.
I would have liked him.
Man.
I would have liked
him. Because I remember as soon as the draft was over, I sent you that.
Yeah, you said that.
I was like, man, get Dylan Moses. There's a couple other people too, but I'm like, oh, well. That would have been dope.
Can't do nothing about it. Maybe one day we'll get to run the team and we'll be able to make these decisions.
First team all SEC too, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking baller.
He probably did that. Who are they middle linebackers? Sometimes them UDFAs.
They have Miles sign. Jack.
You must have failed a drug test or something, bro, because I don't see how he doesn't get drafted.
Yeah,
Miles Jack, and then what the fuck is it? Throw the other guy's name. It's going to fucking make my head hurt.
Is it a dude there? From Cleveland? Was it Schofield?
Oh, yeah. Schofield,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Christian Jones as our third. I mean, you don't think you can beat him out? I don't know.
It's crazy.
Telvin Smith.
They got good.
Miles Jack, Telvin Smith.
He was out last year. Then
what he was out last year. Yeah, he was hurt last year.
Okay.
Who knows, man? Maybe they just got to him. Maybe they offered him a little bit more money.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Definitely missed one there. Definitely missed one. But I'm excited about fucking Thomas Graham. We haven't talked about him much. Stud out of Oregon. Had 8 interceptions over his career. He's going to play a nickel guy. I'm like, and then we got dude from he was at Detroit last year, right? What the fuck's his name? Was Atlanta forever. The corner we signed instead of
Trufant.
Yeah, Desmond Trufant.
Yeah, Trufant can play. Trufant.
Yeah, he'll be the other outside guy. Him and Jalen. He's just got to
stay healthy. But then again, I mean, it was with the Lions. I don't know how much of that is like he didn't want to play for what's his name, Fuckface, Matt Patricia,
Fat Boy.
he pissed off his whole team. So it might have been one of those. Yeah, my hamstring hurt.
Got a stomach ache. I got the shits. Yeah. Like
he probably walked in and like, hey, why you missed a lot of games last year? What happened? Nah, this is Matt Patricia. Brian want to play. Oh, okay. We'll sign you.
He was traveling to what's that strip club called in Atlanta that James Harden's always at?
Magic City.
Yeah, Magic. He was down at Magic City on the week right after Sunday. He was like, I'm heading to Magic City, getting me those wings, and then I'm coming back to practice. My stomach hurts all week, coach. Had way too many wings, man. I got the shits. That was Desmond Trufant all year.
he didn't want to play, dude. So yeah, he's a good cornerback if he stays healthy, man. And they re-signed Artie Burns. He had a good camp. Another veteran. Yeah. He's actually pretty young.
Right.
Like 25 years old. 26. Yeah. 6 feet, fast. They said he played pretty well in camp, but he tore his ACL. So and then we got what's that one guy? Trey Roberson. The dude that was like playing in the CFL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back. So they got a little daddy, Tease Tabor.
Artie Burns.
Still got Kendall Vildor.
Vildor. I think he's more of a nickel.
Yeah. So I think him and Graham will play that nickel. Then
Duke Shelley
will play in there as well.
Yeah. They got a bunch of bodies in there, man. It's going to be a battle for that. Those number backup two spot. Cornerback. Yeah. Backup number 2, 3, 4 cornerbacks. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So.
Good stuff, fellas.
Good stuff, man.
Good stuff, man.
It's
good
been chat. Fun, man.
For sure. We got to do this again soon. Have the whole crew, though.
Yeah.
5 kings. Exactly. I mean, I'm a fill-in as a 3 king this week.
Yeah, hey, yeah. We form like Voltron, you know?
Hell yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Form like Voltron.
That's what's up, man. Shout out your Twitter handles, fellas, man. Let people know where we can where they can follow you.
You guys, BSC Pod. And then I'm at Lucas Marcotte, 95.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm at 79 Ill Will. You know, part of the 3 Kings, 1/3.
1/3 of them. The other, and another 1/3 is DeVore. He's not with us today, but you can find him at what's his Twitter handle? You got the weirdest one, bro.
Yeah, it's like NES.
NES. What is it?
Right.
No, it's
let me see. It's at NES_DV15.
Yeah,
15 was his number he wore in college as wide receiver.
Exactly. And then of course mine is at Dan Goodwin III. And of course you can go and you can find the 3 Kings podcast as well. That is at 3Kings_Midway. So 3 Kings of the Midway podcast. Check us out, man. Check out Between State and Clark, the podcast. Lucas,
yes, sir.
Lucas Mar, Lucas and Curtis, they do their thing over there.
Mm-hmm.
They are regulars with us here too. So, it's always fun to chop it up with these guys, man.
For sure, guys.
I had a good
for
time.
Sure. Yeah, always. Yes, sir.
Always fun.
So, what I'll let y'all, man, y'all take it easy, be safe, and bear down. Hey, we got something brewing.
We got our guy.
2021.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got them.
Fields of dreams.
Soldier Fields.